The Economics of Illness.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. I know we have told you about a lot of economic perils on this show, your credit freezes and your asset bubbles, inflation and deflation. This morning we're learning that another serious economic concern is swine flu. An influential British report says swine flu could pull the UK into a severe slump. Stephen Beard has the story from London.
The report from Ernst & Young says swine flu could lead to a 7.5% fall in Britain's GDP this year. The forecast is based on the British government's own predictions. The health ministry reckons there will be 100,000 new cases of swine flu a day here by next month. Half the population could be infected. So far, the virus has proved relatively mild. Mortality rates are expected to be low. But Ernst & Young says tens of thousands of sick employees won't be able to work, and as people avoid public places, restaurants and similar businesses will see a sharp fall in demand. The World Health Organization isn't any more optimistic. It says the virus is spreading around the globe with unprecedented speed. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In other health news this morning, the American company Human Genome Sciences reports its experimental lupus drug Benlysta succeeded in a late-stage clinical trial. A lot of people had written off that drug. The company's stock price is up in pre-market trading by about, 200%. We'll look at more earthbound stock prices in a moment when we do the numbers. Members of Congress are working on legislation that would reinstate thousands of car dealerships that GM and Chrysler shut down when they went broke, which has reporter Elisa Roth asking a question. With credit as tight as it is, where would these dealerships get the money to operate?
Car dealers rely on credit. They borrow money to buy cars from the car makers. They sell the cars, pay back the loans, and start over. But
if you can't get financing, you're done.
Wade Walker owns several dealerships in Vermont, including a Jeep dealership that Chrysler recently shut down. Like most dealers, he borrows money from the finance arms of the car makers, places like GMAC or Toyota Finance. But just because those lenders are part of the same car maker family doesn't mean they're more likely to give you a loan. Rick Nelson's with the investment bank Stevens Incorporated.
Lenders are looking for well-capitalized, profitable dealers that are going to make good on the financing.
And dealers that were struggling before are unlikely to make the cut.
I don't want to use the word impossible, but it wouldn't be easy for undercapitalized, poorly performing dealer.
Some dealers are doing well, even though the car market is sputtering. Used cars and service departments are still making money. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Here's a troubled company that reportedly has found financing. CIT Group is one of America's biggest lenders to small and medium-sized businesses. You've been hearing a lot about them lately. This lender was badly in need of some credit itself. CIT was ready to declare bankruptcy today. Instead, it's expected to announce a deal with bondholders for $3 billion in emergency financing. The idea that a company can raise $3 billion private dollars in a pinch? Well, stock markets love to hear that. European stocks are up more than 1% this morning. Asian markets finished even higher than that. Last week on Wall Street, the broader market gained 7%. The Dow ended Friday at 8,743. Earnings season rolls on this morning. Halliburton, the world's second largest oil field services company, says profits dropped almost in half last quarter. That's not as bad as analysts predicted. Other big companies reporting this week include American Express, Boeing, Caterpillar, and Microsoft.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
You know IKEA for its popular, affordable furniture and the assembly required, and possibly the Swedish meatballs. IKEA also has a play area called Smallland, where you can leave your kids for a little bit while you shop. Well, reporter Ashley Milne-Tite says Smallland is becoming very popular as essentially a free babysitting service.
IKEA says some of its stores are taking in 10 to 15% more children at Smarland this year. One of those stores is in Brooklyn. Monica Willis is a regular there. She says childcare is expensive, but IKEA makes it easy to deposit her two kids for an hour or so of play without having to pay $15 to $20.
It's a really, really comfortable place to be, you know, and it's safe. The kids love it. There's so much to do in the small land ball pit. You can't really go anywhere. It's like an indoor play space and it's free.
It's also supervised. The number of staff members goes up, along with the number of kids they have to watch. Willis's 7-year-old daughter Polly loves it.
You can either play in like a ball pit or this giant shoe, or you can watch a movie.
But while Polly and her brother are plunging into a sea of plastic balls or parked in front of a DVD, their mother's often slumped in a chair just out of sight, reading, or making some phone calls free of interruptions.
Do you ever use it as an opportunity to actually shop at IKEA?
With the kids, no, usually. We might buy a few small things while we put them in there, but actually mostly we just go to hang out.
IKEA says if a parent chooses to skip the store's aisles, that's fine. The company says it's glad to introduce people to the IKEA experience. Patricia Powell is a retail consultant. Sitting in the cafeteria at the Brooklyn store, she says IKEA is doing well while other home stores suffer, and it's partly because it offers cheap food and free childcare.
Every retailer now is desperate to provide their customers for a reason to walk in the door and spend money. And IKEA has done exactly that with a relatively little amount of money and investment.
Powell says other retailers with space could benefit by having drop-off play areas.
Especially someone like Target, who is really struggling. I think this kind of service is a great way for Target to kind of increase their value to the kind of customer that they want to reach.
Of course, the kind of customer most stores want to reach is one who stays on the premises, even if they don't buy anything. Monica Willis says she knows one parent who parks her child at Smarland, then sneaks off to shop at a nearby supermarket. In Brooklyn, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
I would love to hear a crafty way you have found to save a buck. See, these things turn into radio stories. Tell us your tale when you visit us online at marketplace.org. Click on the link there that says contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.